Welcome to the Carefree Black Nerd Podcast, a weekly conversation about representation and the black and brown experience as it relates to the world of comics and related media. I'm your host, Brian Coleman, and this is issue number one. I'd like to begin this week's conversation with a poorly detailed memory. A memory of the 2016 Olympics. This memory is fitting because of how closely it mirrors the topic of the week. Black bodies, specifically black women, and even more specifically black women in athletic spaces and in competition. Now, I preface this story as poorly remembered because I did not follow the Olympics that closely, really not much closer than thumbing through my social media timelines. The details are kind of a blur, but the meat of the memory is what stuck with me weeks after the Olympics have ended. I remembered there being some sort of drama about the three women who won the three medals in track and field, I believe it was. The drama, however, came from a very unlikely source. It was the woman who came in fifth place. She was, upset that she came in fifth, and because of which she said she feels as if she actually won silver, and the woman who won fourth actually won gold. Why do you ask? Well, really no other reason but privilege. She was a white woman who, I guess, her idea was that the blacks were just getting handouts, or they were too fit, or, again, the details are blurry, but the very fact that this fifth place placeholder of fifth place had all these, words to say about the three black women who beat her was astounding to me. How privileged or big-headed can you be, or do you have to be, to compete, lose, come in fifth place, and then argue that you actually won because the three winners who actually won were black and have had some kind of advantage or some leg up? It's like you just weren't good enough. Like, that's not, and if you can't reconcile that in your own mind, that's fine, but then to go and say all these things as if they're true, it was like, okay, lady, well, I mean, you're still fifth place, but congratulations, I suppose. But I bring this up because this seems to be how the black woman and her aesthetic is often handled in America. A black woman with cornrows is ghetto, but a white woman isn't. You know, she's alternative. A black woman with, certain urban attire is looked at as trashy, but the same clothing on a white body is trendy. Same thing with black women and dyeing their hair. Oh, she's blonde hair, she wants to be white, whereas a white woman, adorns all the African, tribal, native attire, or uses the vernacular, and all of a sudden she's this, interesting. That's the thing that makes her interesting, but that very thing makes the black woman less desirable or disrespected. Been kind of weighing on my mind as I did the research for this particular episode. But with that in mind, I'd like to get into the history and the meat of the conversation about Nubia. Nubia is a DC Comics character. She's classified as an Amazon and not as a human. She was born or created on the Amazonian island of Themyscira. I'll tell you now that my pronunciation of some of these words will be horrific. Do not judge me. Her aliases include Nubia and Wonder Woman of the Floating Island or Slaughter Island. She first appeared in Wonder Woman number 204, Volume 1, in January of 1973, and again as Nubia in Wonder Woman number 8, Volume 2, in Annual of 1999. Nubia was created by the writer Robert, and this is one of those names, Kaniger, I believe that's how you pronounce it. A prolific comic book writer who spent 20 of his 50 years writing in comics devoted to the Wonder Woman franchise, and artist Don Heck, best known for co-creating Marvel's Iron Man. Nubia's powers and abilities are super strength, speed, agility, reflexes, stamina, and endurance. She enhances senses and possesses the power of flight. She is superior in hand-to-hand combat. She has magical weaponry, which includes a magical sword and armor. She has paralyzing cold sight, the ability to open dimensional portals, and she possesses the ability to relieve her body of physical injury and toxins by becoming one with the Earth's soil and then reforming her body whole once again. Let me start by saying I haven't found much in the way of Nubia appearances in the DC Universe with the research that I've done, save for the few that popped up on, like, they were the same story altered only slightly everywhere that I've found information about this character. Okay, although Nubia's first appearance is in Wonder Woman 204, I feel it's best to start in the beginning, so to speak, in Wonder Woman 206. In this issue, Hippolyta, the Queen of the Amazons, flashes back to a revised version of Wonder Woman's origin story. In this story, the Queen had formed two babies from clay, one dark and one light. They were brought to life by the gods, but Mars, the god of war, he abducts the baby, Nubia, whom the Queen never sees again. Now here's where the problem began. I know it's just comics, but how in the hell does this woman deliberately create twin daughters, one dark and one light, and then one of them, out of the two, is allowed to be stolen? I know it isn't allowed because stolen automatically assumes it wasn't, but the black daughter was stolen by the god of war, never to be heard of again. More like never to be looked for at all. You mean to tell me that the queen of the Amazons, with the same power set of the most powerful women in the world, enhanced strength, speed, durability, fighting skills, and ageless eternal life. Ageless eternal life. So you had nothing but time. She was so careless that she up and got one of her twins stolen, and was so powerless to stop the god of war from stealing said baby. Mind you, there were two. I guess the black one was defective or something. Adding insult to injury, the queen raises her white baby, Diana, jointly with the general. And there's this Menelope, I believe. Anywho, so you know exactly who stole your baby. But you and your two equally powered sister moms, not even mentioning the entire Amazon population of Themyscira, you all figured it would be best to stay put and raise this white baby that you had left. That's pretty interesting. A very interesting turn of events. But going back to Nubia's first appearance in Wonder Woman 204. In this issue on Paradise Island, Diana has her memories restored by the Amazons, and soon after confronted by an armored female warrior who challenges her to combat. The two ladies seem equally matched until the dark-skinned female knocks the sword from Diana's hand, but then she hesitates to kill her. She then introduces herself as Nubia, the one true Wonder Woman. Nubia tells Diana that they will meet again someday, and when they do, they'll decide which of them has the right to the title. Which for me begs the question, had they both grown up as intended, as twins, would there have been a distinction in Wonder Woman, or would they have been known as the Wonder Women? Would the DC Trinity even exist, the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman? If so, would it have ever been Batman, Superman, and Nubia? In this issue, the Queen secretly believes she recognizes Nubia, who returns to her floating island. Now, she secretly believes she recognizes her? How many black Amazons are there floating around, and then how many of them are floating around looking exactly like your white daughter, Diana, and how many of them are floating around looking like your daughter and claiming to be the one true Wonder Woman? Like, you know you had two kids? What the fuck? But in issue 205 of the short story about Nubia, which picks up with her departure from Paradise Island, in this it includes a short conversation and an embrace from the Queen, something that I think was uncalled for, was unnecessary. Back on her misconcealed floating island, Nubia rules over a community of men. It's all men. In issue 206, we get the whole flashback of Babygate from the Queen's perspective. After being abducted, Nubia is raised by Mars as his weapon of destruction against the Amazons. And again, this here is unsettling because this black body was used as a prop or a means to an end. Nubia may have been retconned as being here before and inserted into Wonder Woman's origin story, but she was not a fully fleshed out character. To me, that did more harm than good, because what follows are stories and stories about Diana and 203 stories prior of Diana where she was allowed to live and thrive. That's a lot of missed opportunities even after Nubia's appearance to do more with the character. There was no solo Nubia book chronicling her life experiences on the floating island. There was no limited or miniseries fleshing out her childhood post-kidnapping. I found no stories where Nubia had been fully realized as anything but the token black body, who isn't even seen as the twin of the princess of the Amazons that she should be. I'm not a DC fanboy. I am familiar with the properties, most of the widely known ones, but this is a missed opportunity here, and like, this was so frustrating to go through reading the beginning of this character and seeing that there was not much there. Mars, the god of war, and Nubia, they launched an attack against Paradise Island. When Diana comes to the rescue, she notices that Nubia is wearing Mars's ring. Diana then removes it from Nubia's hand, which in turn breaks the mind control that Mars has over Nubia. This sounds like a quick ending to a short arc, but again, I feel that this does more harm than good in the long run, because now, even in fighting this battle as a grown woman, Nubia has no agency. Everything we have seen her do from her first appearance in issue 204 has been because she was controlled by a male god of war. She was raised by this man, and you mean to tell me that she doesn't have enough independent thought of her own to be in full control of herself while attacking the Amazons, to whom I feel like she has a pretty justified beef with. If she knew that she was abducted from her homeland and no one came to find her, even though they knew who took her, or if she doesn't have this knowledge, but only the information that her abducted father gave her, which would, I'm sure, be his shared hatred for the Amazons, why on earth would he have to mind control her to get her to fight them? That makes absolutely no sense. After the ring is removed and Nubia is back to, or for the first time, thinking for herself, she and Diana oppose Mars. He flees, and now Nubia leaves so she can lead her warriors, as she says, into the ways of peace. Whatever. Cowardly. When Nubia leaves, that's when the queen reveals Nubia's origin to Diana. And nothing comes of that. She doesn't give Nubia the same courtesy of knowing who she is, where she comes from, and how she ends up with Mars in the first place. And Diana doesn't go after her to say, oh, hey, here's the good news, sister. We're twins. We're family. Reading over the history of Nubia at first glance seems like a pretty tidy, happy tale that ends like a fairy tale, but this is anything but. Nubia's story is one of abandonment and chaos. Ultimately, she seems to be a well-adjusted Amazon, but her story is one that I feel is handled pretty poorly, you know, most poorly than a lot of the stories that I've read, and I've been reading books for quite some time. Perhaps it's heightened for me because she's one of very few black people, and extremely, extremely few black people, or black women, excuse me, in this age of comics. For all intents and purposes, she is Wonder Woman. And at this point, there have been 203 issues of Wonder Woman Diana Prince, the privileged white Amazon from Themyscira. Great. But there are so many interesting stories that could have been and still can be told about the black, powerful Wonder Woman of the floating island, or Slaughter Island. Her childhood alone could cover so many trade paperbacks and omnibus. At bare minimum, a miniseries would be nice. Add to that, in 1985, the DC event Crisis on Infinite Earth happened. The entire DC universe was erased and then restored, and as a result, the pre-Crisis Nubia had never existed, which again I think was also misstep on DC's part, because even though in those three issues there was a limited story of Nubia, it was a more interesting story than what came after. Sometime after the crisis, a new version of Nubia emerged. Her backstory, I don't think, was really given much detail, except for there was the time when she met Diana and she called her by the former queen's name. A little bit later, she found out that Diana, Wonder Woman, was actually the former queen's niece, which is all fine and good, but it... This... I think that moment is significant because it shows that Nubia, the Black Wonder Woman, after Crisis on Infinite Earth, is not even... She doesn't even share the same origin story anymore. Now, Diana is Wonder Woman. Diana is the princess. Diana is, you know, does have that royal bloodline. But just the way in which they interact or express that Nubia is kind of a outsider. She's still an Amazon, of course, but she doesn't share the same bloodline. She doesn't share the same origin story. And it's kind of emphasized in this moment in itself. I, Nubia, am meeting you. You look like my former queen. I come to find out that you're the niece of my former queen. So both of you have this, you know, station in life, this position of royalty. And yet now I've been kind of retconned again, but out of that. And I don't know. So anything after that, it wasn't really as interesting. I just thought that right there was a pretty... shitty way to reintroduce this character and not have her be more prominent in the DC universe. Like, would that have killed you? I don't know, to make her stronger, to give her a more rich backstory if she wasn't going to be the fraternal twin of Wonder Woman, give her something else. Like, she's has comparable strength to Superman. So it's like, if he's one of the top three and her former twin sister is part of the Trinity, why doesn't she have a more important or prominent station in the DCU post Crisis on Infinite Earth? Now, in the event Final Crisis, issue number 7, this was in March of 2009, Nubia first appears as the Wonder Woman of Earth 23. Earth 23, to my understanding, is just a parallel Earth to Earth 1, Earth Prime, like our Earth, like Marvel 616. She's the Queen of Amazonia, and she's good friends with Earth 23's Superman, who is also Black. And that's kind of where the timeline for Nubia ended for me. I hadn't found any more places where she, like, popped up in the DCU, which I feel is a shame, because again, she's an interesting character. She's a powerful character, and power set aside, her history is pretty rich for the few times that she's shown up. I feel like more could have been done with her, and more still can be done with her, especially as far as representation is concerned. It's like a Black Wonder Woman that you don't have to make a stretch to make it believable. Yeah, I don't know. A movie, an animated movie would be nice. DC does really well with their animated series. Again, I'm not a diehard DC fanboy, so the issues and the critiques that a lot of people have, well, who are diehard fans that I've heard of, over like the Teen Titans movie, the Justice League, the Flashpoint, all those that I've seen in the last year or so, I just enjoy the movies themselves, and I don't see the harm in a 120-minute film, or maybe just an hour's worth of Nubia, the true Wonder Woman, even if you have to change things ever so slightly so that she's not seen as the Wonder Woman. If you don't want to go that route, she's still such an interesting character to play with, and I haven't seen much done with her. Now, if there's some things that I've left out, some things that I've overlooked, somewhere I should have looked that I hadn't, please feel free to let me know, because I'd like to revisit this character a little later. And if I have missed something, I would love to get some input from you all out there in the internet. Let me know. But this is the timeline that I came up with. Again, Nubia, great character. I feel like she's underused with this new 52 that happened, and then with Rebirth that's going on right now. This is a perfect time to introduce her, even if you have to make her younger and put her into the Gotham Academy book, the little like teen tween book that's going on now. Like, that's the perfect place to put her. She'd be far enough in age that you won't confuse her with Wonder Woman, but you know, what do I know? So this wraps up issue number one of Carefree Black Nerd. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this first installment. Please, let's keep this conversation going. If you have questions, comments, concerns, you just want to say hi, you want to say, hey, you missed out on this, oh, you need to check out that. Again, this is new to me, so please help me out. I welcome any and all conversation. I mean, respectful, of course. You can contact me at carefreeblacknerd@gmail.com. On Twitter, it's carefreeblurred, Tumblr, carefreeblacknerd, and the same on Instagram. Next issue, we're gonna look at Marvel's most famous kid sister from the 90s, the blonde-haired Shard. Thanks again.